Okay, so. The hope is that there'll really be a part two, maybe part three and four to this VOD. We'll see how it goes. But everybody here asked me this afternoon about giving the VOD, so I started preparing. And then about an hour ago, I started getting questions. So I started figuring out what I should do. I'm still not really sure. We'll see how this goes, and then we'll decide after if these recordings need to be erased. Okay, but this gives me the ability to talk about whatever I want. My friend asked me if Rebbe, if Rebbe could give, and that's anonymously, it still has to be my friend, okay. If Rebbe could give Divrei Chizuk for one to overcome his taiva, so that lets me talk about whatever I want.
Why does that
have to be?
But
I don't know everyone's handwriting, but it doesn't matter because everyone's a Baltaiva, so it's not really. That's what he meant, my friend. Okay, anyways.
That's the only question I need to answer?
No, but I'm not sure where to go. There's a lot of questions here. I think we need like a late night, Friday night oneg to go through all these or something like that. But my mother's calling me. I feel like she's listening. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, anyways. Rabbi Yachtis, a few weeks ago, just showed me a fascinating little Sifsei Chacham over here. The Pasuk says that Yitzchak was 40 years old when he married Rivka. So Rashi says, Himtin la achat tehei ru'i labia gimel shanim. He waited till she was 3 years old because before 3 years old, she wasn't ru'i labia. So the Sifsei Chacham says, "V'afal pi she'ena ruuya leherayon," that shkayach she was roi labia, but she wasn't roi leherayon. So why did Yitzchak bother marrying her? So he says, "Afilu hachi anasa kadei shelo yia behurei avera." Still, he married her so that he should not be behurei avera. 40-year-old Yitzchak Avinu was looking for ways to be mechazik himself to overcome his taiva. So he married Rivka at age 3. So what's the wow part of this? Because we just wait till 24. We see you should really wait till 40. See you should chat when they're 3. Here, a lot of different perspectives we could have here. But what hits you from this chazal? What's the wow of it?
How hard the time is.
3 months can get married.
How hard it is, such a good thing working on it that he gets.
That's the girl thing.
Okay. Okay, so first when I saw this, I thought it was wow. Even Yitzchak, at 40 years old, had such tremendous levels of taiva. But the truth of the matter is, I'm deharing, that's not really a wow, because we say, Kol HaGadol Mechaver Yitzchak Gadol Mimenu. So I don't think it would be fair to say, if Yitzchak was such a Baal taiva, so then it's Mestaber, we're such Baal taiva. Because Fakarat, Mustafa Yitzchak had a greater Yetzahar. But I think the wow is that he needed to do things to control his taiva to get Hirurim out of his mind at age 40. And as somebody pointed out, the Koach HaTzir, it doesn't seem he even did something so powerful over here. And so we may not have the Koach HaTzir if Yitzhak was such a Baal Taiva, then worse than Kavach Omer we are. But we could have the Koach HaTzir L'chora if Yitzhak needed to have a Tachbula at age 40 to control his Taiva. Mestama, we're entitled to want Chizuk in this area also. And we're entitled to need it. We don't always have the option, because sometimes we have to follow our Masorah and wait till 24. And if we're waiting till 24, you know, I tell guys in my class, I say, stop looking at the girl. I say, chances are, what are you now? You're 16 years old? Chances are your wife is 12. Well, just keep that in mind, okay? So what are you doing? Anyways, so that should help a little for if you want to talk Bula. But, what? I didn't say when you were in love, you know? that's if you want to stick to the, if you want to stick to the 24, it's Mustabra, it's somewhere around there. What? All right, so you got to be more careful. Yeah, I hear. I hear, we got to be careful which house you're going to for a Shabbos meal, okay?
But, so you can still go to jail.
Okay. Rabbi said, but the Vard is, I remember hearing this from Rabbi Shai Kohn, and I heard from his son's close chaverim of mine. He always used to say, I'm a big Baal Taiva, and I'm proud of it. There's nothing wrong with being a Baal Taiva. The question is, what are you doing with your Taivas? Call God the Mechaber, it's God the Mechaber. Rabbi Trapper, if I can't, used to use that as a chizuk. People used to come kvetching to him, complaining to him, it's so difficult, it's so difficult. They said, wow, you must be a Godel. It's called Gadol Mechaveri, it's a Gadol Meadow. It's not just Pshat and Sitkus, but it's, he said Pshat, I think he was saying over from the Rosh Hashiva, that it's not just that if you're a Tzaddik, so Hashem gives you higher level of Nisyonos. But Hashem gives higher levels of Taiva to people that he gives more Kochos to. People that have more Kochos to accomplish comes along with that being bigger Bali Taiva. I remember him saying Pshat, in certain politicians, we won't mention their names in the Beis Medrash, but saying pshat on certain politicians who basically ruined their careers over stupid taivadika acts, that we look at them like, come on, like, control yourself. You just destroy your whole career. What do you do that for? But Hashem gave these people tremendous leadership kohos, tremendous talents, tremendous skills, and coming along with that is being a Baal Taiva. So we need to be comfortable with the fact, and even possibly proud of the fact, that we're Baal Taiva, because there's nothing wrong with being a Baal Taiva. The question is, what do you do with it? That's where we have to start being careful. What are we doing with it? But having the Taiva is nothing to be ashamed of, and needing the Tachbulos are nothing to be ashamed of. But often, unfortunately, people are ashamed. Is there a way I could work on strengthening my willpower besides replacing myself in a Nisayon, which is stupid? Okay, we definitely don't place ourselves in a Malkum Nisayon to build our willpower muscles. It's not like working out that you just pick up bigger weights in order to build those muscles. We daven to Hashem every morning that Hashem lo yidei nisayon. Hashem shouldn't put us in a malkum nisayon. Not only do we try and avoid a malkum nisayon, but we do whatever we can to daven to avoid malkum nisayon. We certainly don't put ourselves in a malkum nisayon to strengthen our willpower. And the way to really deal with these things is by avoiding the Nisayon. A big challenge is that when it comes to these areas, they're very private matters. And therefore, we deal with it on our own. And when we deal with it on our own, the Yetzer Hara has its way of getting in without us even realizing that he's getting in. I remember Rabbi Trapper saying many times, I don't know where he got it from, it's Alpi Drush, it wasn't his Derech the Darshan, but we say in Marav, Hasis Satan Lufaneinu Me'acharenu. What does it mean, take the Satan away from in front of us and from behind us? So sometimes we know very clearly that it's the Satan in front of us. In these areas also, you have something in front of you, you know it's us here to do that. But sometimes the Yetzirah is behind us. We don't realize that it's the Yetzirah, and it could be even more destructive when it comes to these areas. Think for a moment what you tell yourself. How do we need chizuk? What do we tell ourselves to be mechazik ourselves? Think for a minute what you tell yourself. I'm not going to ask you, but think for a minute what you tell yourself to be mechazik yourself. Very, very often, almost always, if I had a little more time, I would have figured out how to do an anonymous survey to see if this is actually the reality, but chances are it is, because the Yetzirah is pretty good. And very often, what we're telling ourselves is something negative. We're telling ourselves, it's an Avera, it's Usser, we're going to go to Gehenna, we're going to burn for this. I remember after being here for a bit, I was back in Queens by my parents for Shabbos, and I went to visit Rabbi Trapper. I was shvuzi with him. He used to daven at the 7 o'clock minyan in Teitelbaum's, and I went over to his house for Kiddush Shabbos morning and was shvuzing. And I was telling him some of the situations that I was trying to help some of the high school boys with. So he mentioned to me, there's this sefer. He said, that's a fantastic sefer. He told me a lot of other members of Van Hollow were recommending to the chevre to read it. I forgot the name of the sefer. And he said he's telling people not to read it. I said, why? So he says, because there's one chapter in that sefer that talks about Chomer Achet. And that's not good for people to read. So I'm telling them not to, people should stay away from that sefer. So I said to him, I said, okay, Rabbi, but maybe the Rabbeim should read the Sefer. Let them deher the Chomer Achet, so at least they'll be metapel with Talmidim and help them in these inyanim. So he looks at me and he says, and who says they can handle it? I'm like, okay, now I see this is a chacham, I don't feel so bad. but the vart was that this is the way that many people deal with themselves. Many people deal with themselves by focusing on the Chomer Achet. I gotta stop. I gotta fix this up. It's a terrible avla that I'm doing. I don't really know the extent of the avla because I'm a good Talmud and I never read up on the Chomer Achet because that was the instructions I got. So I don't really know the Chomer Achet, to be perfectly honest with you, and I never read the Svarim who said it. So I can't tell you exactly what the Chomer Achet is. But that's our teva is. Is that that's what we tell ourselves, because when we tell ourselves that, the Yetzirah is winning. Imagine for a second that you were the owner of a sports team and your team just had two losses, and you're hearing your coach, who you're paying millions and millions of dollars to every season, speak to your team in the locker room. And what he says to your players are, guys, you lost last time. You lost the time before. You get out there and lose, it's going to be three times in a row. You know what your record's going to be if you lose again? You know how disgraceful it is? You know how bad you're going to look? Now get out there on the field. You'd fire that coach. But Good question. Motivation is fleeting, but at least if you do it right, it's not destructive. This is not motivation.
One second.
Let's talk about how to do motivation that's fleeting first, and then we could talk about how to make it everlasting. But this is what we think is motivation. This is a Satan Me'acharenu that tells us that this is motivation. Focus on the Chomer Achet. Do some haratas. Sit for a Musar B'Spilus Seder and picture the fires of Gehenna and have a little charata. You know, that's the first step of tshuva, a little, okay, yeah, you the hair of the but have a little charata. You think that's charata? Sit for a good Musa Seder and give yourself some charata. Feel it in your kishkas. And that's the Yetzirah behind us. That's the Satan Me'acharenu. Because that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That makes us feel like losers. And losers don't want to get in the game. And when they have to get in the game, they just become bigger losers. I remember discussing this with Ellie Feldman, and he told me to look up. There was a study. Apparently, football coaches, the approach that they used to take when a player dropped a pass that he should have caught is that they used to bench him immediately. Bench. You get the message into this guy's head. You don't do that on my team. You're in the big leagues over here. You don't drop the ball. You drop the ball, you're on the bench. You want a career? Don't do that again. You're on the bench now. And what they discovered is that when they took the opposite approach, that as soon as the guy messed up and dropped the pass, and now the quarterback had to throw him another pass and let him catch it again, that's when he picked up his game. If they did the other approach, they benched him. So it became labeled as the case of the drops. Because, yeah, he sat on the bench and he did his Musar B'Sphaylus Seder of I'm a loser. And when you do a Musar B'Sphaylus Seder of you're a loser, you become a loser. That's Musar B'Sphaylus works very well. And that's what he was doing on the bench. You throw him another pass, he catches it, has a good play, gets back in the game, and focuses on the fact, I'm an NFL player. I'm awesome. I'm in the big leagues. And then he could forget about the fact, yes, he feels bad. He was Yotzi, it's Harata. He feels bad. He's going to practice more. But he's back in the game with a positive attitude. The Satan Me'acharenu gets us to have a warped perspective. The guy who practices his foul shot is the guy who has a great foul shot. Because he feels, I'm really good at basketball. I want to get a little bit better. The guy who's constantly on the court is the guy who's really good. You see people that are practicing things, practicing their hobbies, their talents, that's because they feel really good at it and they want to get better. When we feel really good at something, we want to get better. We have to stop and think how good we are. Here we have, I don't know, quick, 35 young, healthy, driven men sitting in South Florida on a Tuesday night, sitting talking about how we control our typhus, putting themselves in it, surrounded by the coastally based medrash, putting themselves in a dormitory, which is hopefully Kodesh Vitar, and if it's not, get rid of it. But that's what they're doing. Ruba de Ruba of the world that's your age is being over many averas in this area tonight. And you're sitting here. And not giving yourselves any credit, I would have to guess. Because the Satan Me'acharenu was there, not letting you think about that. But instead thinking about, I'm so bad, maybe I could go to this van and get a shtickl etza and help me with all my struggles. Rabbi Shmuel Salanter says that if a person, let's say a person is lazy. I think this is the example he gives. I haven't seen it inside for a while. I don't know if I ever saw it inside. But he says, let's say a person is lazy, has a hard time getting up for shachris, and he changes that midah. And now he becomes a zaris. He changes his teva, and now he's a zaris. He says he continues getting schar every time he gets up for shachris, as if he was an otzel, because that was the teva that Hashem created him with. So he overcame it, and Hashem continues giving him schar as if he was an otzel. So I checked this with Rabbi Lubener and Rabbi Grumblat. I think they were both maskim, not just being nice to me. But I think it's the same thing when it comes to these in Yonim. Al pi derech hateva, we should, in the crazy world that Hashem made us born into, we should be being over many Yisurim tonight, probably right now. And we're not. Okay, right now we're not in the Makom Nisayon because we're sitting in the Beis Medrash and we have nothing in front of us except Svarim and holy rabbis. So we're not in the Makom Nisayon. So it's no big deal. But that's because we chose to do so. That's because we decided, okay, I'm going to spend my time sitting in Beis Medrash. I'm going to surround myself in a play that in a situation that a minuscule percentage of the world puts themselves in. I'm going to put myself in a Saviva that's Kadosh V'Torah. I'm going to get myself away from the access to all the garbage. And then the type is not there. And then we fail at some point, and I'm a loser. Hashem is looking at us right now as if we were sitting in the biggest Makom Nisayon, because that's al pi derech hateva where we should be, and is giving us schar as if we're controlling ourselves from being nishal in the heat of the moment, because that's where we should be right now. But we don't count that. I've heard from many, many guys that I spoke to struggling with controlling the Eitz Sahara. Rebbe, I'm keeping track. I'm nishal this amount of times, this amount of times, this amount of times in the week, in the month, in the day, whatever it is. And I asked them, okay, but how many times are you tempted and you control yourself? I don't know. There's too many to count. So what kind of hashara are you making? You're making a hashara that's not emistic. Because what we do is we set in our own minds a goal. Whatever our goal is, everybody sets their own goals. So we set a goal. And if we don't reach that self-imposed goal, so then we label ourselves as a failure. That's not how Hashem is looking at us. Hashem is looking at us in the big picture. Hashem is looking at us, where should we be? Hashem is looking at us at every moment where al pi derech hateva, we should be in a Makom Nisayon, and we're not because we decided to be sitting in the Beis Medrash. Because we decided to make sure that we put a filter on, because we decided to take that book that was lying around the room and throw it in the garbage. Whatever we did to get ourselves out of that Makom Nisayon is to our credit. And Hashem is giving us schar second after second after second, loading it up. And we're looking at ourselves as a loser because we didn't meet that self-imposed goal that we defined as success. That's the Yetzer Hara giving us a crimp perspective on what success is. It's very easy for him to do it in this area because we don't know what's going on in other people's lives. We're very comfortable with the fact that we space out during Shmoneh Esrei, unfortunately, because we look around and everyone else is also spacing out. So we're very comfortable spacing out in Shmoneh Esrei because we know what a norm is. When it comes to these areas, it's all in our private lives. So the Yetzer Hara tells us everyone else is a tzaddik. You're the only bum that doesn't have control of the Yetzer Hara. Success is total success. So many guys are here. Okay, Rebbe, I'm trying, but when am I ever going to really gain control? Right? Very often. It's a beautiful thing to fully gain control. But I never heard anyone say, Rebbe, I'm really trying to have kavana during Shmoneh Esrei. When am I going to hit that day where I'm going to stop being distracted during Shmoneh Esrei? Probably never. And every single Shmoneh Esrei is going to be in another Makom Nisayon. Let me see how much kavana I could have. But somehow, when it comes to this area, the Yetzer Hara tells us that is the definition of success, perfection. When it comes to any other area of Avodas Hashem, we don't tell ourselves that success is perfection. But when it comes to this area, the Yetzer Hara tells us success is perfection. And when we're shooting from the foul line at 99%, he gets us to feel like a loser because we're not perfect yet. And when will I ever, you know, stop missing a foul shot? Never. But I'm still in the game, and I'm still proud of how well I'm doing, and therefore I keep on playing hard. And we have to change our perspective. We have to be proud of how well we're doing. We got to take the precautionary measures. And I'll end with this. I really want to get to these questions. Rabbi Kira told me that we could have a part two and maybe part three. And I think these questions should be more in a onyx setting, maybe on Shabbos without so many recorders. But I'll end with this. Because of the fact that it's so private, we really have to take it out of the realm of being private to get hadracha onto how to deal with these areas. Because when we're doing it on our own, the Yetzirah gets in, and we don't know when it's the Yetzirah that's behind us or when it's the Yetzirah behind us. We don't know if that Moshe Seder that we're having is detrimental or it's productive. But another whole angle, even without anything that a Rebbe says to you, just knowing what's going on, if you stop and think about it, in pretty much all other areas of Avodas Hashem, certainly all other areas that are difficult in our Avodas Hashem, we have a tremendous tachbula, and that is our chaverim, our abeim, our sviva, our parents. People see what's going on in our lives. And when people see what's going on in our lives, so it gives us opportunity to use other motivating factors. We want a shtickle kavod, we want people to be machshavos, we want to have a certain social status, we want to give nachas to our parents, we want to give nachas to our abeim. When other people are proud of us, we become proud of ourselves. When it comes to this area, so the Yetzer Hara tells you, you got this. Work on it. Just make another commitment. You got this. That's not the way we work. If we could bring somebody into our lives who could give us a little hadracha, it could take it to an entire different level. Rav Amram Chasida, in the Gemara in Kedushin, was put in a situation where there were two women in his attic. They were taken captive. He arranged for them to be redeemed, and they were put in his attic. And the Gemara Rashi describes there was a ladder there that went up to the loft. It sounded like it was more of like a mini staircase, and it required 10 people to move it away. So in order to avoid the Makom Yisayon, that's what he did. Step one is he got 10 people to take the ladder away, and he moved the ladder away, so he had no access. The Gemara describes that he had a tremendous desire to go up to the attic, and he caught a glimpse. Gemara says that the light shone through a window in the attic or something, and he caught a glimpse. I guess that was like the old-fashioned Snapchat. He caught a quick glimpse, and he was overcome with taiva, and he picked up the ladder himself, and he started climbing up the ladder. When he got to midway in the ladder, he braced himself and he started screaming, "Nur Bei Amram!" There's a fire in the house of Amram. Baruch Hashem, he lived close to the Beis Medrash. The Chacham came, they saw him going up, and he stopped. So I heard Rabbi Trapper asked, "What's Pshat over here?" He said, "Rav Amram knew that if he screams fire, they're going to come, and he's not going to go up. Right? That's why he screamed fire. So just go down. Like, what are you doing to yourself? Why are you putting yourself through that busha?" So you can get into exactly what's Pshat, but whatever Pshat is, Rav Amram knew that he couldn't do it on his own. He needed help. But what the Yetzer Hara tells us is, really, you're gonna go talk to somebody? You're gonna go tell somebody that you're struggling with the same nisyonos that Yitzchak Avinu was struggling with? Come on, you know, that's embarrassing. How could you go talk to somebody, be a man, toughen up, you got this, you'll get it under control. Because the Yetzer Hara knows that this is what we need. So the Yetzer Hara gets us to be ashamed. So we don't talk to anybody, and we try getting off the ladder ourselves, and it doesn't work. Or sometimes he gives us a different etzah. Talk to this guy, but you know, when you scream fire and the guy that you call is another pyromaniac, it's not really going to help you in a situation like that. You have to make sure that the guy that you're calling is going to help you put out the fire and not climb up the ladder with you. So, you know, the Yetzer Hara sometimes says, "Okay, listen, you got to get it off your chest. But the guy who you end up talking to just makes matters worse, or you make matters worse for him. And you got to talk to the right person. Bottom line, three yesodos, and there's a lot more to talk about. A lot of very insightful questions here, much better than questions that I uh, that usually come in for these volumes, so I really do want to get to discuss them. But number one, Rabbi say you got to be positive. Give yourself a pep talk. Inspiration is fleeting. That's why it has to come from yourself. Inspiration is fleeting because you're not always around your Rebbe. You're not always hearing a fiery shmooz, but that's the Mishnah Nava says, Meir Ani L'Mili. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. That's how we address it. We're always there with ourselves. And we always have to be ready to inspire ourselves. And we have to have that daily Musar Seder. But it's kedai to have that Musar Seder on how well we're doing. It's kedai to have the Musar Seder on how much we're accomplishing by putting ourselves in such a wonderful environment, by taking ourselves out of the Machon Yisrael, by realizing what we would be if we were just living our lives al pi derech hateva. We got to minimize the nisayon. I remember a trapper used to get furious. There was no smartphones then, but he used to get furious when guys had books around the dormitory that were provocative. He was furious because he was working with these guys that were killing themselves to get on top of their struggles, and then this other guy was, you know, just chilled out about it and left his previous thing of books lying around the dormitory. Everybody say, it's hard enough to deal with our own struggles. Don't give struggles to other people. If there's stuff lying around the dorm, get rid of it. If you have access to your own stuff, just in a moment of inspiration, just get rid of the app, put on the filter, do what you need to do, minimize the nisayon. It's the Yetzirah telling you, don't worry, you'll be able to control yourself. You'll be able to control yourself. Al ta'am ba'atzmecha. That's what I tell the parents. You know, I decided I'm gonna give this to my kid for his bar mitzvah present. I want him to learn when he's young that I trust him. So the Torah says, that's what I said. The Torah says, al ta'am ba'atzmecha. Don't trust yourself. But you think it's a good situation to say, I trust you. You shouldn't trust yourself. Your parents should trust you. I don't know. Anyways, it's don't trust yourself. Get rid of the nisayon, and if you're really a man and have the strength, and you can go to somebody and talk. Rav Amram didn't even do anything. They didn't give him any chizuk, right? They didn't give him any chizuk. They walked into his house and saw what he was up to, and now he had the opportunity to show his chaverim, I'm going to get down the ladder and control my yetzirah, and that's all he needed. And when he put himself in that situation of good chaverim that knew what he was going through, that's all he needed. They didn't have to say a word. The only thing they said to him is, Rav Amram, why are you making us embarrass you? They felt uncomfortable embarrassing him. And that's all that happened. But the chizik that he needed was to be able to have his chaverim see what he was going through and that he was being matzliach. So if we could put ourselves in a situation where we take our struggles out of being so private, if we could talk to ourselves positively, be aware of how amazing we are in our nisyonos, view ourselves in an emistical way, the way Hashem views us, as shooting 99%, not as a loser, not as failing, we'll be in a much, much better position, and we'll have even more hatzlacha in our avodas HaKadosh.